If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Impress your friends, amaze your coworkers, make your family proud. Here's what you need to know. I'ma tell you what
you need to know. But first, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. How many foreign-born players have won an NFL rushing title?
Oh, wow, that's an interesting one.
One of them is 61 today.
Foreign-born.
Mm-hmm.
61 today.
And you spoke to him 5 days ago. You stood
hang on
10 feet from him.
Just settle down. Think when 5 days ago was. Today's Tuesday. So Monday, Sunday, Saturday, Friday, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Okoye.
Christian Okoye.
Nailed it. Nailed it.
From Enugu, Nigeria. I thought he
how
might.
Many?
I asked how many. There actually is.
Say three.
There's two.
Two.
I thought there might be zero because I kept going back. And finally, I found Steve Van Buren, who was born in, who won the NFL rushing title in 1945.
Austria, Germany.
In 47. And now I have to look back where he was. Steve Van Buren, where he was born. Steve Van Buren was born in Honduras.
Honduras. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Four-time rushing champion in the 1940s.
Not bad. Christian Okoye and Steve Van Buren. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Always fantastic. Always a great choice for dinner. Go to joeskc.com to order it. Joeskc.com. Time for our need to know. It's brought to you by Jungle Law. Experiencing a rumble in the legal jungle? Call the lawman at Jungle Law. If you have a criminal charge pending, call him right away. Jungle Law also handles employment-related issues, even against corporations. Call Jungle Law for a free consultation at 833-4JUNGLE. That's 833-4JUNGLE. Find them online at junglelaw.com. First thing you need to know, tickets for less. You got 1 hour, basically, to save 10% on any Chiefs ticket purchase. Go to 810WHB, or excuse me, go to ticketsforless.com. Use the promo code 810WHB, no space, 810WHB, and you'll save 10% on all your Chiefs ticket purchases. They get a great four-pack. Get four tickets and a parking pass to either the Seahawk or Bronco game. $225. That's the best deal to go and make a perfect holiday gift. So if you got a Chiefs fan, you know you're going to be buying them presents come Christmas, come the holidays, get them a four-pack for the Seahawk or Bronco game. $225 for four tickets and a parking pass. Again, go to ticketsforless.com for that. You can get a preseason game, Packer game, $15 in the upper deck, $30 in the lower deck. Again, go to ticketsforless.com. And if you need college football tickets, KUK State, Missouri, 810WHB, that promo code will save you there as well. I don't know what you're waiting for. Get it done. Go there right now and save yourself some money on great tickets. And the VIP tailgate pass for the preseason, it's only $20 today only. And while they last, so I'm sorry if you call and they find out that they're already sold out. Well, give it a call. It's only $20. All you can eat and drink. It's not much more than just the cost of one beer inside the stadium. $20 all you can eat. Barbecue, all-inclusive beer and seltzer. Tailgate games, giant covered space. It is the place to be. It is the VIP tailgate party for just $20 for the preseason football. Both preseason games, Washington and the Packers, go to ticketsforless.com. A little Chiefs sound for you today up at training camp. Myself, Todd Lebo up there. Start with Steve Spagnuolo. I mentioned that the big trend in football is that cover two shell. Is it something that, you know, he's adhering to? Or does he think maybe changing looks, giving a different look, being different is a way to keep offenses off balance?
There's a little bit of that. I mean, I kind of get focused on the teams that we're going to end up playing. And I'm trying to have an eye toward what I think might be best against that. And really working on those. But, yeah, we do believe in being multiple. So we're working. We may be working on a bunch of things now that may not even show up for a month. We'll find out. Not right now. But at some point, if that becomes an issue, that's what you do. You got to make sure you let the guys keep playing fast.
Didn't really answer the question.
Not really. He kind of...
Which is fine.
Explain what he was doing, but didn't really answer what he thought theme-wise or strategy-wise, philosophy-wise, you were was on board with you.
Was it just because he like didn't want to say, oh, no, no, yeah, I'm going to do the same thing, cover two shell all the
probably
time?
A little bit of that.
Like maybe I went, you thought, eh, this could be, you know, I could give something away here if mm-hmm. I go too far.
I'm glad you said, though, Siren, that he didn't quite answer the question, because I was playing that and I go, did I play the wrong clip? Because
no, that was the answer.
That doesn't sound like the answer for what Petro set it up as.
Well, I wanted to make sure that's what I was thinking as I was sitting there. Of course, I'm in the front row, and I don't want to be giving the dog head turn look or anything. But Curtis kind of gave me the dog head turn look. I'm like, okay, good. It was perceived the same way by those around me. But I'm a big Steve Spagnuolo fan. I get it. Maybe you thought, I can't go that far down that road. One more, Todd Lebo talking to Steve Spagnuolo, Chiefs DC, how the young corners did in Chicago.
Pretty much, a little up and down. What I'm always looking at is big plays. I mean, I just think in this league, you go into a game and we always chart explosive plays, runs or passes. And when the passes get deep like that, it puts everybody on their heels and it can lead to points allowed, which is our number one goal. So there were some things in there in this past game that we just need to clean up from the standpoint of long pass plays.
So the one long pass play looks like Joshua kind of took a chance and tried to tip it away.
Yeah.
What should he have done there?
We got to make that play. I mean, I think he did for the most part. I don't know. Maybe closed his eyes. You know, I mean, he'll make that play. You hope that, you know, as he gets more comfortable, the confidence comes there and he goes and makes that play. Jalen Watson made some very similar play today, but you're right. And I think Josh knows that and he'll get better at it.
You know, the Bears don't really test the secondary
not yet. Not yet.
But I liked what I saw against the Bears. You know, even the passes that were completed, you know, were contested. One of them was just a Hail Mary off a tip ball or a sack, quarterback going down as he's throwing it. So I liked what I saw so far. Let's see what they do the next time out, see if they're as productive. But certainly a lot of buzz around all the young DBs.
And I can't remember, one of it was McDuffie. There was a play on the sideline that you're like, he was in perfect spot. How the hell did the ball get through there?
Yeah.
Plays are going to happen. That's football.
Danny Shelton signed away, veteran defensive tackle, veteran of the Browns, Patriots, Lions, and Giants, signed by the Kansas City Chiefs. Danny Shelton was asked why he signed with the Chiefs.
Honestly, I was just tired of flying around. And, you know, when I heard that the Chiefs wanted me and it was between Jags and Chiefs, you know, I had to go with the Chiefs, you know. And you know, I'm just excited for this opportunity, excited to be here with the guys and try to catch up with them and contribute to, you know, everybody's goal, you know, getting to that championship.
Even if you just shoot past the S-bomb, tired of flying around, man.
Yes.
It's like punchline, then punchline.
Time to make a decision. You know, just tired of flying around. Let's go. Let's go. It's Chiefs and Jags I was down to. That ain't no choice.
Yeah. You know? Guys, if you ever decide to propose to your girlfriend, don't say, why'd you propose? I'm just tired of thinking about it.
Yeah.
Just tired of not wonderful.
Tired of the dating scene. Just figured, what the hell? You're here. I'm here. Why not?
I'm not going to get any better.
Yeah. Well, that'll thrill things. All right, Danny Shelton, talking about the defense that Steve Spagnuolo runs, was asked what he thinks of Spag's defense.
I've always been, you know, a fan of Spag's and how he runs things, and then Andy Reid too, you know. So just the opportunity to be out here. Obviously, we got these high-caliber players on our team. And just to be around those guys, you know, it excites me to be able to compete with them. And, you know, hopefully learn something that I can add to my toolbox, you know.
What is it about Spag's defense that made you a fan?
I think the juice, really. So Spag's, he has this kind of energy, you know. You don't want to get up. You don't want to, you know, get on his bad side. And so, and he's smooth with it, you know. So it's like you respect that, you know, and you want to do your best out there. And so you bring in the juice. You get in your playbook and you do your best to produce.
Don't want to blank it up.
No, you don't. Accurate.
Right?
That's accurate.
Yeah, yeah. I will grant you that is accurate. Interesting. You know, it's just letting it fly right there. He's honest. I'll say that. And when he talks about Spagnuolo, it reminds me of what Bob Glauber told us a long time ago, that when he was asking Giants players, what is it about Spagnuolo? And they called him OG. You know, he's OG. He's original gangster.
Mm-hmm.
And he really does command the respect of the players, really like playing for him. We see that Danny Shelton already picking up that on that right away. Danny Shelton, a big man. Large, thick, wide, powerful individual. Danny Shelton asked what weight he'd like to play at.
I say it's up to coach. 50, 55, 45, whatever they need me at, 40. 3, man. I haven't been at 240 since, like, I'm not going to lie, probably middle school at 240, yeah. Yeah.
I actually buy that, man.
If you're looking at him, it's quite clear.
Yeah.
There's no two.
No, he's easy. You're talking about easy power baseball. He's easy size. That's not a guy who's bulked his way to 345 or 350. Whatever. He's just a huge human being.
The only two that will come in his weight would be at the very
end.
The very
352.
End. Watching 352, 351.2. That's it.
Watching the sports report on the local news last night, noted football scout Margaret Drovetta, my mother, had to say about him, goodness, look at his ass.
Yeah, there was a shot of him behind, and just it was taking three guys to, they decided to put three guys on him. You're like, man, he's large.
Did I send you guys a shot of his? I always check the footwear.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, you know, I'll send it because I always think it's interesting to, like,
well, no, you didn't. Not his.
No, but you can zoom in and see it. I had who was the first one? I had Rashad Fenton is doing the like little bitty tennis socks, and then the ankles are, and then he's got the top part of the socks that he's cut off to meet the mandatory code.
Yes.
Like that's the new hip thing, right? You got to meet the code to have the socks, you know. And I took a shot. I don't think I sent you like Sky Moore has the shoes that don't have any laces, or they're tucked under this. I don't know, sock-like material. I can, you know, I'm just like always impressed by the footwear. Danny Shelton, take a look at those shoes.
They're not small.
They're not cleats.
Oh, yeah, I didn't realize it. Yeah, those are just like trainers almost. He's got what I've got on essentially, but only they're nicer.
Yeah, well, you know, apparently it's a
money.
Size thing. But he's not going cleats. Wasn't going.
Yeah, if he just took those up, put those on to come to the tent. Those look.
He may have changed out of his cleats and said, "Okay, these are my walking around shoes." But he is a large, powerful individual. Hopefully, makes an impact for the Kansas City Chiefs on defense. Sky Moore made available today. Was asked how comfortable. I asked him, as a matter of fact, how comfortable he feels in the offense.
I'm working on it. Like I'm getting there. Every day, I'm getting better, chopping wood, and I feel like I'm getting to where I need to be, but I'm still in that process though, trying to get as comfortable as I can.
Is it the kind of thing where it's you play the stuff and you're working your way through it, or is Andy kind of lay a little bit more like, yeah, I'm almost caught up, and then here's a new thing.
Yeah,
how's it kind of work?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like once you think you got the hang of it, boom, another plate for you comes. But that's how I like it though, because it keeps me on my toes and. You know, I'm never, like, too comfortable. Yeah.
You like carrying the ball? I mean, that's one of the new kind of things. Samuel, guys, a lot of carrying from the wide receiver spot.
I like getting the ball, period. Don't matter. It really doesn't matter how I get it. I just, you know, I enjoy having the ball.
He certainly flashed and then some in Chicago. I mean, he did kind of everything they asked him, and then he made the nice catch, took a hit from two guys over the middle, a little tough possession catch, and came away with the ball, so he seems to have that part of it down.
And I appreciate a guy who can be honest and say, yeah, I'm still working to get it all down. I mean, that's a guy that has confidence. He's confident he'll get there, or he wouldn't have said, oh, yeah, no, I'm good. I got it all figured out. I appreciate anyone
you wouldn't
who
have got an answer from Mecole Hardman.
Yeah, I appreciate anyone who knows what they don't know, and he's certainly one of them. I asked Guy Moore if he's had, you know, whether it's a, oh, my God, I can't believe he threw it that far, a no-look pass, had one of those Mahomes moments yet on the field.
Yeah, definitely got a couple no-look passes. Just like little crafty stuff that he does. Like, even like today, like, I'm running down the field, and he's looking at me the whole way. He got no intentions of throwing me the ball, but he's making sure the defender is staying with me. Just little stuff like that that he does that just makes me like, oh, snap. Like, that's why he's here. No, I can't do it. I can't do the impression.
No impression.
No impression. I don't know. For some reason, oh, snap will always make me laugh, particularly when it's said that way. Another one of those guys that, you know, if he's going to be good, and all the signs certainly are pointing that direction, he's going to be a team, he's a player this city's going to love because he's good. He's got a great personality.
It's funny, you're sitting over there, and I'm like, 24. What DB? Is this Trent McDuffie? And I'm like,
numbers are just insane. I can't keep up with anyone now.
Yeah.
Defensive lineman wearing 9. You're just like,
oh, God. Dogs and cats living
forget
together.
Forget everything you know about numbers.
Total Armageddon.
It's gonna ruin the game.
One Chiefs note, Herbie Teopia, the Kansas City Star, reporting that the Chiefs are waiving defensive lineman Austin Edwards and wide receiver Devin Gray. That gets them to 85 players on the roster. The deadline to do so is today. They are now at that roster. Royals and Twins back at it tonight. 6:40 first pitch, Greinke versus Sonny Gray. The Twinks, 196 favorites. 196. I'll take my shot with the – that can't be right.
It's a slightly higher number. That's what I saw on our side. That was the
196-106 is the split.
Mm-hmm.
There's a $90 split.
Similar to what it was yesterday. I'll see if I have the numbers wrong, but that's
– I'll bet you do.
That would not surprise me.
I'll bet you do. I'll bet it's more like 136-106. That's what I think.
Okay.
136-106.
We'll check it out.
If I'm wrong, it's 196, like 166. I would buy that. No. I don't know what that is. That site's crap. Don't use that site.
That's the one you told me to use.
No, I told you a better one, but that, 5 years ago.
But that one didn't have the dog's number on it that I saw.
Yes, it does.
Does it? I didn't think it had those numbers.
Got to be smart enough to find it. People are getting ready to wager on these things, Curtis. They need accurate numbers. 205, 170 at one place, 198, 166, 195, 163.
Okay.
We'll call it 195, 165.
Cool.
Plus 165. Bet 100, get 165 for a win with Greinke. You got to lay $195 to win 100 if you're going to take Sonny Gray and the Twins. I'll put some money on the Royals. I'll take the Royals. Give me the Royals on this one. I'll take the boys in blue to get it done.
Same.
Let's see if it happens. Let's talk some college football. We're going to do that next. Shahan Jayaraja, CBS Sports national writer, joins us. National college football writer joins us next. Here in the program, we're live at ticketsforless.com, where you need to know you can save 10% when you use the promo code 810WHB. That's only good for a little bit longer, so take advantage of it. 10% off any Chiefs ticket purchase when you use the promo code 810WHB. It is available right now, 810WHB at ticketsforless.com. We're live at ticketsforless.com, one of our favorite spots here in Kansas City. Great people, great KC company, getting you tickets to great events. Whether it's the Chiefs, save 10% right now with the promo code 810WHB, 810WHB. Preseason tickets, how about going to that Packer preseason game? $15 in the upper tank, $30 in the lower level. If you got kids, the little ones, they don't know the difference between a preseason game or not. Buy these tickets right now and have happy kids. Go to ticketsforless.com or call 913-685-3322. The best in the business. Your college football tickets, KU, K-State, Mizzou. 810WHB will save you there as well. We talk college football right now with Shahan Jayaraja from CBS, college football, national college football writer. He's brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks, the best spot for your fantasy football league. Your draft party, where is it? It's Twin Peaks, of course. Eats, drinks, scenic views. You can stay cool under pressure with 29-degree draft beers. Great made-from-scratch menu. Keep everybody nice and well-fed. Plus a $50 bonus card for the commission. Additional $5 bonus card for every drafter. Visit TwinPeaksRestaurant.com/fantasydraft for more info. Shahan, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate the time. Tell me, which poll got it righter, I believe is the correct grammar. You're the writer, so you would know. Which one's better, the AP or the coaches poll? Which one do you think is closer to having it right?
Yeah, I think that I'd probably lean towards the AP. There were a couple in the coaches' poll that were just a little off the wall. Like whoever, I can't wait to figure out who gave Texas the first place vote in that poll. But You know, the top seven ended up being, I don't remember if they're identical, but they're very, very similar. Really, the whole top 10 ended up being pretty similar. I liked the fact that that the AP poll made sure to get BYU in, made sure to get Houston in as well. I think that actually they probably should be even a little bit higher, but at least they weren't left out like they were in the coaches poll. So overall, I think the AP poll got it a little more right. I looked at some of the teams too that received votes, and there were several on that list that I think also deservedly received votes. Teams like San Diego State, teams like Fresno State, and certainly, you know, Kansas State being pretty close to appearing in the poll as well, which was something that I felt like they deserved to be. So overall, I mean, look, it's a preseason ranking. Obviously, everybody's working off different criteria, but it's a pretty good starting point overall.
Yeah, I agree. I don't have any major rubs, although I was disappointed in K-State showing, certainly in the coaches poll, a little bit better in the AP poll. I know you've been bullish on the Cats, like the Cats for the over. You know, I get it, BYU, Houston, Cincinnati, you know, those teams are going to have good records. But, you know, I'll say this, and I like the additions. The Big 12 did as well as it could do, grabbing those three schools. And then Central Florida, I think, I know it got some coaches' votes as well. Yeah, there it is. It got 27 points worth of votes in the AP poll as well. It's a whole different world, though. I remember TCU, everyone's like, people around here who were jilted lovers of the Big 12 when Mizzou and A&M left, they said, the Big 12 got better. TCU's better than A&M. It's like they got bet. Now, like, it's one thing, like, to play one Power 5 team on a neutral site, like a Boise or a TCU used to do when they were in the Mountain West, and then maybe catch one in a bowl game, again, on a neutral site. Split those two up, dominate your conference, and everybody wants to get excited and make you the number 7 team in the country. But oftentimes, you might just get lucky or take a team that takes you lightly at the beginning, and maybe the bowl game is a team that was disappointed they weren't in the playoffs and they're mailing it in, and everybody acts like TCU or Boise is every bit as good as the top 3 or 4 teams in the country. And we've seen TCU have to stand toe-to-toe with the Big 12, and that has been proven that program absolutely was not at the same level. Do you think we're going to see the same thing? Do you think these schools really belong at 23, 24, and 5 based upon how they would perform if they were actually in the Big 12 this year?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do. I think that Houston is a program right now that I think is heading into sort of the culmination of a cycle for them. Clayton Toon is a quarterback who I think could start in most of the Big 12 right now. They had a running back who unfortunately got hurt, Alton McCaskill, who I think would play at a lot of different schools in the Big 12. And defensively, they've actually done a really great job of pumping out NFL defensive linemen, of all things. And so, you know, they've got a guy, Derek Parrish, who I think is going to be next for them this upcoming year. And after that, I think there's a player named Chidozie Nwankwo, who I think is going to be another potential first or second round pick in the NFL draft. So I think that Houston has kind of built themselves up over the last year, especially, you know, trying to build that Big 12 quality depth. And I think that BYU right now, same sort of deal. They're coming up on a culmination cycle. And honestly, their schedule this year is as tough as any schedule that really anybody's going to play in the country right now. They're playing multiple teams that could be playoff contenders. They're playing Baylor. They're playing Oregon. They're playing Notre Dame. I think that they're going to legitimately be tested. Now, I will say, I think Cincinnati coasts a little bit off of reputation of being in the playoff last year. They lost a lot of their top quality players. But I do think that Houston and, you know, look, the question isn't necessarily could they beat Alabama or Clemson or Georgia or whoever, but it is, you know, could they compete with the teams that are around them in that range? Could they compete with the Kentuckys? Could they compete with the, you know, NC States? I think that they absolutely could, and so I have no problem at all with them being considered in that conversation.
I think Houston's the one that has the best chance to succeed. I asked this question. I can't remember who it was, and they said, oh, as long as he's at Cincinnati,
Luke Fickell
is at Cincinnati, I'll put my money on the Bearcats. Well, I won't. I'll put it on Houston because I think they've got the proximity to talent. And I also think they've got a little bit of tradition. I think they've got a little bit more juice behind them. I know Central Florida's got a lot of kids that go there, and I'm sure there's a lot more UCF sweatshirts on campus now than 15 years ago where everybody wore Florida or Florida State or Georgia crap. I mean, you know, they're definitely building in the right direction. But I think Houston's the one that has the chance to do the most damage. You know, BYU would probably be second. I guess I would, as long as Gus Malzahn's at Central Florida, which I don't think will be long, I think Central Florida would be third, and Cincinnati for the long haul would be fourth. How would you put those four schools in order as to how you think they will compete in the Big 12? You know, this coach, but also beyond this current coach with each school.
Well, I think that Houston definitely has a chance to be special just because of, like you said, I mean, their proximity to the city of Houston, their proximity to Texas high school recruiting. You know, they've been a program that's competed at the highest level before. You know, I mean, back in the 80s, obviously, Andre Ware was a Heisman winner. So I think that it's going to be a relatively easy transition for them. The one thing that I will say, though, before I get into the other three, is that I think that all four of these programs are potential growth programs, right? Like, I think that you look at what the Big 12 brought in 2012. TCU obviously is a great, has been a great football program, and they reached national caliber back in 2014 and 15, but you know, they are a small private school as well. And I think that you look at West Virginia, a program with a lot of tradition but not a whole lot of advantages. Well, I think that with these four teams, you're talking about four programs who I think all – I kind of disagree with you. I think that Cincinnati has a chance to really make some hay in the state of Ohio in recruiting. There really isn't a number two team that attacks the state of Ohio until you see Kentucky, you see Michigan, you see Michigan State really, really, really aggressively attack the state of Ohio in recruiting. Now, it's not Texas, but you're also not dealing with the same kind of national competition that Texas recruiting is as well. So I think that, for me, Houston is one. I think that they're in a great position. I think Cincinnati is two. But a big part of that is because I also expect Luke Fickell, who in some ways is like the godfather of Ohio recruiting, to be there for the long run. I'd probably lean toward BYU third and UCF fourth, but I'll tell you what. I think that 10 years from now, this order could be completely different because I think that all four of these programs have some ways to make up some ground. You know, UCF, I think, being in the state of Florida is obviously a big deal. The question, I think, is just going to be, do they – managed to create that footprint, with only that one school being in the state of Florida. I think that's going to be an existential issue. But BYU recruits nationally right now, and I think that's going to continue. Houston obviously has recruited the Houston area really well, even as a group of five team. And Cincinnati, I think, has a chance to kind of come in and put their stamp on recruiting in the state of Ohio and some of the surrounding area in a way that I don't think that any other program has really been able to do to this point.
Like, I will grant you that Cincinnati will look real attractive to anyone that the Buckeyes aren't recruiting in that state and maybe even around that state as you get into Indiana and some of the other, you know, less populated states that are there. I do get that. But how much, are they just going to be the king of the MAC? Like, okay, they can grab all the best kids that are going to the MAC. Because I wonder how many people, you know, the fact that every road game, it's not going to be West Virginia, but West Virginia struggled to recruit when every road game is so far away that parents are going to have a tough time to get to these road games. Will that be, you know, at least a junior hurdle the likes that West Virginia is still yet to clear?
Yeah, so to address that first point, you know, I think, look, if a kid in the state of Ohio gets an Ohio State offer, he's going to take it. But
right.
One thing that I think has really kind of stood out in the past 5 years or so especially is that Ohio State's kind of feeding the state of Ohio. They don't really recruit the state of Ohio all that much unless there's like a five or high four-star kid. They kind of otherwise go out of state a whole lot. And so you look at, even historically, look at Michigan, look at Penn State, look at Michigan State. These are programs that have totally been built with Ohio players as sort of the core of it, you know, because of the amount of talent relative to size and relative to high-level competition that the state of Ohio produces. And so no, I don't think it's just going to be like MAC kids or anything like that. I think that you are talking about them not beating Ohio State for kids, but I think that you're talking about them competing with Michigan for kids, winning over Kentucky for kids. I think that that would be a huge deal if they're able to kind of come in, because a lot of Kentucky's best players are from the state of Ohio. And I think if you're able to win some of those battles against not the top tier of recruiters, but that second tier, I think that's what you're looking for if you're Cincinnati, along with also adding to your footprint from Florida and from Texas, since you'll be playing there a lot. In terms of the travel stuff, it matters. I think it matters less than West Virginia, because West Virginia is not just far away, but also is hard to get to. A lot of the time you have to fly into Pittsburgh and drive there. That's not going to be at quite as big a concern coming from the city of Cincinnati. I think that they're going to be able to still have a pretty quick and easy flight. Now, yes, I think that it is going to be a factor, and it is going to, you know, I think that it's going to be an inhibitor when they're trying to especially go into Texas and go into Florida as well. But I think that it's accessible enough that it shouldn't be a huge deal. You know, I compare it a little more to, you know, maybe in some ways like with Kansas, right? Kansas is per se a little isolated, but it's obviously pretty good proximity to Kansas City. You can fly into it relatively easily. And so it doesn't end up being as huge a deal as maybe it could have been, because I don't think those flights are going to end up being too long.
Shahan Jayaraja says Kansas is in the middle of nowhere. We're talking to our college football national writer.
You
from
know
CBS
what
Sports.
I mean. I live in Minnesota.
Phone's ringing off the hook at Union Broadcasting.
Lawrence, Kansas, would really love to throw out an invitation to Shahan Jayaraja to come out and speak to the masses, if he can find the place, you know, being that it's tucked away. No, I know exactly what you're saying. It's true of K-State as well. You know, I get it. But from a major population base, it's true. And having two schools in that state, we've seen that. It's been really, really tough to have both of them up and running at the same time. And at times, for many years, to have either one of them up and running. So your points are all valid. I do appreciate that. Let's talk about some schools that like are kind of in uncharted territory. Let's start with Texas A&M at number 6 in the AP poll. They're just the 12th school to be unranked 1 year and in the top 10 the next. Is that because they disappointed? Like, to me, that either means that they disappointed last year or something miraculous happened this year. Like, you know, do you think 6 is where they ought to be?
I certainly don't think that they should be really anywhere close to 6. You know, the funny thing is they entered number 6 last year as well, and obviously ended the year unranked. And people really point to those quarterback injuries and the struggles at that position as to why. But the reality is a team that's top 10 in the country doesn't just go 8-4 because they have to play their backup quarterback. Like, that's just reality. Obviously, everybody has looked so much at their recruiting over the past couple of years, and they are sort of the hot team right now, because they just signed the number one recruiting class of all time. But the reality is, I mean, just looking at it, the issue at Texas A&M has not been talent level. It's been quarterback development. It's been offensive skill development. It's been bad receiver play. It's been, you know, sort of rigid offensive play in a lot of different ways. Now, in 2020, they did sort of have their breakout season by going 9-1 and winning the Orange Bowl, but that right now looks like a blip. That looks like the exception to the rule and not the rule. And it's one thing if, you know, because for example, if Texas A&M's losing, but it's because they're losing to Alabama and another really good SEC West team, that's one thing. They're losing to Mississippi State. They're losing to Ole Miss. They're losing to teams that they really have no business losing to. They lost to the version of LSU that we saw last year. Those are games that you have no business losing if you're actually going to be considered one of these top 10 in the country type teams. Now, is it possible for them to get into that range this year? Of course. I think that it is with the talent that they have and some of the quarterbacks that they brought in. But until we see it, I don't think that they deserve as much benefit of the doubt as they get. And I look at a team like number 7 Utah versus number 6 Texas A&M. You know, Utah obviously went 10-3. They only lost one game, the Rose Bowl, after they switched quarterbacks. This is a team, to me, that very obviously should be in that top 5 conversation, but they're behind Texas A&M strictly based on recruiting. And then recruiting is important, but the reality is if you haven't performed, you shouldn't be number 6 in the country.
And I know you follow the recruiting very closely and a lot of great stuff up at CBS Sports from you on the recruiting, but Georgia lost so much talent, and I know how well they recruit, but are we really ready to just hang our hat that they can have that kind of loss to the draft and turn around and still be number 3 in the country, or is this a little bit premature?
I think the funny thing about it is that, you know, Georgia did lose a lot, and I don't expect them to really be anywhere close to those top 2 teams this upcoming year, but I don't think that there's an obvious candidate to pass them up either, because at number 4, you've got Clemson, who finished number 14 last year. At number 5, you've got Notre Dame, who lost a whole lot and has a new coach. Then number 6, Texas A&M, and then Utah at 7. Now, I probably would have voted Utah as high as number 4, but that's kind of where you're at this point, right? Like, I mean, you're kind of comparing Georgia to teams that maybe are ranked 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And so I think that you know, look, we'll kind of figure out what happens with Georgia, but they might just end up playing a schedule this upcoming year that doesn't force them to have many issues. They do play Oregon in week one, but Oregon's also rebuilding in a lot of different ways with a new quarterback and a new head coach. So it's almost like, again, Georgia's going to be, I think, personally, substantially worse than they were last year, but the question is anybody else kind of ready to make up that gap? And I don't necessarily think that they are.
I think that's a fair point. I like the way you described it. About a minute left here with Shahan J. Raja. Time for our Final Four, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health Center. We'll move quickly. I will start you with this. Did you watch Better Call Saul, the finale last night?
Yes. Yes, I did.
All right. Perfect. I'm so happy you did. Give me a grade, a letter grade. How was it?
Oh, my gosh. I have to give it an A+. It was one of the best finales that I've ever seen, and I just think it just wrapped up the whole saga beautifully.
You're quite the sharp dresser, at least what I can tell from Twitter, your website. Do you own any Better Call Saul caliber suits?
I could probably work something up, but I don't know if I have anything. I do have, like, a pink suit. I feel like if I wore with a really gaudy tie, maybe it would work.
Yeah, that counts. There you go. I like that. And finally, we're here at Tickets for Less. I'm looking to buy 21 Pilot tickets. 21 Pilots are coming to Kansas City. Would you go see 21 Pilots if they were coming to your town?
Yeah, I think that they seem like a fun act. I don't listen to them a ton, but what I've seen and what I've heard, I've definitely enjoyed.
I don't know if anybody's ever aced the Final Four like you just did right there, Shahan. You're the man. Appreciate the time. Keep up the great work. We'll talk to you again down the road.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Shahan J. Raja does a great job covering the college football. Check him out at CBS Sports. You can check out the great deals at Tickets for Less. 810WHB. Use that promo code right now, just a little bit of time, to save 10% on all your Chiefs ticket purchases when you go to ticketsforless.com and use the promo code 810WHB.
We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
Don't screw it up, Curtis.
But first, a good sense into the hour answer. I did it. How many USC Trojans have been named NFL MVP?
Marcus Allen.
That's one.
O.J. Simpson.
That's two.
Lynn Swan probably never did. Who am I missing? I'm thinking I might be done with that. I'll go
old to. School.
Old school. Trojan.
Hall of Famer. Born on this date in
1930. Way old. Wow. So played in the 50s?
1956. NFL MVP for the NFL champion New York Giants.
Oh, Frank Gifford.
Frank Gifford.
The GIF.
The GIF.
The GIF.
It's a generation who just knew him as the butt of Howard Cosell's jokes, did not realize how good a player he was.
Did he make the Hall of Fame for his playing career or for dealing with Kathy Lee for all those years? Which was it?
I'm not sure he was even married to Kathy Lee, but when he was inducted in 1977, I think.
Oh, really?
But
well, that was a Hall of Fame performance just hanging around that. I'll give him credit for it. Our thanks to our friends here at ticketsforless.com. You can come check out great deals at Tickets for Less. Go to ticketsforless.com or call 913-685-3322. I try it right now. If you're just getting in your car and you're hearing us for the first time, 10% off on those Chiefs tickets when you use the promo code 810WHB. They have you covered. Preseason ones, great prices on the preseason tickets. Take advantage of it. It's at ticketsforless.com or call 913-685-3322. The absolute best in the business. Locally owned and operated. I'm talking about my friends right here at ticketsforless.com.